Blog Talk Radio.
All aboard!
Don't touch me. I'll beat your brains out.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Let's get ready to rumble!
I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Gypsy. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
I think that the NFL knows what Randy Moss has done with marijuana, and I think the NFL knows what Randy Moss does with marijuana.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Top of the morning. Those of you already on Facebook Live, the millions obviously listening around the world on Blog Talk Radio, live from Hollywood, California, Los Angeles. This is Tough Love. I'm Alistair Conrath. What's happening, everybody? Super Bowl homeboy. Everybody excited? Everybody, who you got? Who you got? Rams, Patriots. Who you got? If anybody has anything they'd like to share, please do call. Phone lines are open at the moment, as they always are. 213-943-3423. I am stoked. You know, here's the thing. I don't even know. It's funny. When the 2 weeks ago, if you would have asked right after the championship games, I told Patriots are going to win by a couple touchdowns. And now as it gets closer to game time, you know, that's changing. I would still put money on the Patriots. I would. But at the same time, I feel as though this game is real simple. It all comes down to Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. The 2D tackles for the Rams. I truly think it's that simple. Only because the two Super Bowls that the Patriots lost, they got pressure up the middle, the Giants did. And they disrupted Brady, they got him off the mark, and he was not the same guy. And you saw it against the Chargers, you saw it against the Chiefs. They didn't touch Brady. And if you don't get to Brady, you know, think about him all you want. He's going to beat you. That's just the way it is. He's going to beat you. So, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, you have to get pressure up the middle on Brady. It's just proven. That's what works against Brady. And if you don't do it, you're going to lose. That, unless you can keep up score for score. Because if you don't get pressure on Brady, they will get touchdowns. And if you can keep up, well, then, hey, who knows? But if you can't get pressure, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. The other side to the whole thing is, you know, the Patriots finished fourth in rushing on the year. And so for myself, you know, you think about a team like that. Allison, love you, babe. You think about a team like the Patriots, and you think about Brady and passing it around and Gronk and the weapons that they have. But they were fourth in rushing this year. And all I know is to really neutralize a pass rush is run the ball effectively at them. And so, therefore, the offensive line for the Patriots that came into the season a question mark has now become one of the best attributes to that team, and it starts from the center and the two guards. Those are the strongest going against Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, obviously the two strongest on the D-line. It is such a game within the game. I'm so excited to see who wins, because one side's not going to win every play. That's just not how the pros work. They're too good. So who is going to win the majority of those? Is the Patriots going to run the ball effectively and it directly at Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh? You know, when the Vikings played the Bears and Khalil Mack, we didn't run right at him. And we tried sweeping it around him, and it's just not smart, you know, because he's too fast. He's too strong. Same thing goes for Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. You have to run at them. I don't think running away from them is going to work. I don't think that's the case. And plus, you got Brockers on the outside. You got Dunlop on the other side. A lot of speed on the edges for the Rams. It's real easy. Donald, Suh, if they get pressure, Rams have a very, very good chance of winning this game. The other side is that I'm not a big fan of the back end on the Rams. So all that, what I'm saying is if they don't get pressure on Brady, their linebackers are weak. Their secondary outside of Aqib Talib isn't that great. I mean, Marcus Peters is probably going to get worked today. He has regressed so much since being in Kansas City. It's incredible. Nickell Roby Coleman, who is talking shit about Tom Brady of all people, saying he's aged, he's going up against Edelman. And so, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Steve, what's up, bud? It's amazing to think like the Rams have a chance defensively. And like I say, they only have one chance defensively. If they don't get pressure, they're not going to win the game. It's truly that simple. And, you know, I hate to just be that black and white about it, but it really is. Now, flip the side. When the Patriots are on defense, you know, how are they going to stop? And I will say this right now. If Todd Gurley plays 4 or 5 plays again, Rams lose. Yeah. I get going against the Saints, you know, and it's just a different dynamic, in my opinion, to not play Gurley. And I will say this. Gurley had to have been hurt. My brother. He had to have been hurt. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand. If you've got somebody that amazing, like arguably the MVP of the league for most, you know, for some of the year, and all of a sudden you don't play him in favor of C.J. Anderson, and I'm not taking anything away from C.J. Anderson. Bye, babe. Good to see you. I'm not taking anything away from C.J. Anderson. He could be this year's Nick Foles, right? Like, all of a sudden, just comes on at the end of the season, blows through the playoffs, and ends up, you know, who knows? Super Bowl MVP, C.J. Anderson. I can see it, but you've got Todd Gurley? And do all everything back, and I understand the pounding of C.J. Anderson, but you're going to tell me, like, Todd Gurley's going to sit on the side? It's just, I don't know. It's baffling to me that, you know, Gurley, and they still won. Obviously, they came back and won against the Saints in New Orleans, you know, in a game that they probably shouldn't have, you know, outside of the pass interference call. They were down, you know, 13-0. And couldn't do anything and came back and ended up winning that game without Gurley. So to think that they can't win today, you know, I mean, that's it's kind of ignorant to think that without Gurley. But at the same time, I feel as though he helps. I would assume a guy like Gurley helps. I mean, something feels different to me when you're comparing the Saints and the Patriots. I don't know why I feel like you could just, you know, ball control versus the Saints. And I don't know why that wouldn't work against the Patriots. I just feel different about that scheme I don't. Oh, nice, 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 nice. I appreciate it. Thank you, Guerrero. I'll probably be there later over at the old VFW. That'd be fun. Damn it, that'd be fun. But like I say, I don't know what it is. I just think the dynamic is different about the Patriots and the Saints. And I feel as though Gurley's athleticism, his edge, his ability to catch on the backfield and so forth is such a – it's just a huge responsibility for a defense. And I mean, if he doesn't play, it's just – I don't know. Think about it. He's your, you know, arguably the best player on offense. And, you know, he's like, it's like Jordan playing without Pippen. You saw what happened with that. You know, they didn't win finals without, you know, Jordan and Pippen. When it was just Jordan, they didn't do it. So, I don't know. But as far as I just think this game, it could be a lot easier than people, you know, think it is. I will say this. Aaron Donald wins the Defensive Player of the Year last night, second year in a row. Remember a couple years back when J.J. Watt was just dominating the league? Aaron Donald is that and more. That is how good Aaron Donald is. And he is so strong. He's so fast. I read a blurb on him yesterday that was just incredible. But, I mean, it was just the guy is – he doesn't look the part. He's so sturdy. And he's so perfectly proportionate when it comes down to, like, his overall body. And his quickness is just cat-like. It's so fun to watch somebody like Aaron Donald. And, you know, in Ndamukong Suh, I feel like the pressure is all on him. Because the Patriots offensive line coach, I know this is just a bunch of shit you guys probably don't care about, but the Patriots offensive line coach, Sarnecchia, has been there since Christ was a Cowboy. I mean, the guy's been there forever, and their offensive line is really good because of him. To be able to neutralize Donald is their game plan, right? That's what they want to do. They don't want, obviously, the Defensive Player of the Year to beat you. So they're going to occupy Donald and have Ndamukong Suh try and beat them, which, by the way, Ndamukong Suh is no joke, right? I mean, he is the reason Aaron Donald has had the year he has, is because Suh brings about pressure, and he makes you pay attention to him, and you can't double-team both of them. And so it's on Suh, though, to make an impact today, because Donald is going to get double-teamed, and he's going to get double-teamed all day. So it's on Suh to get pressure up the middle. And by the way, they have to get pressure up the middle without blitzing. That's the biggest thing. That is what the Giants were able to do. They were able to get pressure on Brady without blitzing. If you blitz, you know, to get the pressure, no, then Brady's going to kill you. You know, last week Brady was 18 of 22 on third down against the Chiefs. Think about that. 18 of 22, 15 of the 18 went for first downs. I don't, you know, I'm rooting for the Patriots. I'm a Vikings fan. Everybody knows that. I have that stupid blanket right there, Vikings blanket. I don't know why, but I'm a Vikings fan. Yet at the same time, they're not in it. And when it comes down to it, I'm not like the general public, I guess, when you just want to hate a team just because they've been there too many times or their fans suck, which Boston fans are annoying as shit. I get it. But wouldn't you be if your team is there every year? You know, I think I'd be braggy a little bit too. I just appreciate greatness. I understand the whole, underdog. Everybody loves an underdog. And I don't agree with that. I really don't. If that was the case, we'd all want women's basketball to overtake men's basketball. And that's just not the case. Why? Because we like watching greatness, and that's just the way it is. And the Patriots are that. You know, to hate on Brady and Belichick and what they've done the last 17, 18 years is ignorant and jealous. So jealous. Everybody says, oh, why are you rooting for the Patriots? Because they're great. Like, why? I don't get why. Keep in mind, you don't play for the Vikings. You don't play for the Rams. You don't play. The Patriots fans don't play for the Patriots. So nobody has an actual horse in the race. It just because you're born in Boston doesn't make you better. You're not doing anything to help the Patriots win. Whether you like to think so or not, you don't matter on the field. Zero. So it, you know, to let a team get you upset because they just win all the time, I mean, just think about that real quick. Just think about it. I get, you know, I mean, I'm on a sports show. I do a sports show right now. But years ago, I stopped caring about wins and losses. You know, letting it affect me that much, or hating this, or hating the Packers because I'm a Vikings fan. Why? Why? You know, like, it doesn't, I don't do anything to affect anything on that. So why? It doesn't matter. So therefore, when it comes to the Patriots, yeah, they're great. Like, they're so great. Jeannie, hello. You know, like, why would you not appreciate that and what they're doing and how they have done it so long that it desensitizes everybody to what they're actually doing. Like, if your team, think about it, Dino, Gene, like, the Vikings fans of you, you know, that are watching, if the Vikings or the Saints or X were in it going to be the ninth time in the last 18 years and eight straight NFC championship games for Vikings fans and 13 out of the last 18 years, we would be beside ourselves. Think about how great that would be. You know, and so instead of, like, shitting on the Patriots for being good, how about you just appreciate what they've done and what they're doing, because it's not going to continue. Eventually, people die. People get old. Brady's not going to do this forever. But it's incredible how unbelievable he is. Like, before the Patriots, it was Steelers. Team of the 70s, four Super Bowls. Vikings were, you know, unfortunately lost four Super Bowls in the 70s. 49ers in the 80s. Sprinkle Giants and Bears. You know, the Buffalo, 0-4, at least they got there. Cowboys, you know, I mean, four. That's the biggest thing. You know, and granted, Cowboys, Steelers, I think Raiders maybe, have been to five or six. We're talking nine with just Brady and Belichick. Patriots have been to 11 overall if you count 85 and 96. And it's just 11, you know. I mean, teams, 49ers have been there, I think, five. I think, you know, and everybody's, or four, whatever it is, five. Everybody's, you know, happy about that. And that used to be the standard until the Patriots came. And for the last 20 years almost, they have been going to a Super Bowl every other year. This is the third straight year. That's what bothers me so much about Nickell Robey-Coleman, the slot corner for the Rams, saying, oh, yeah, you can tell Brady is aged. Really? This is his third straight Super Bowl. I don't know what your definition of regression is, but I don't think missing, you know, making three straight Super Bowls is regressing. I don't see it. And to not appreciate what they're doing, it's insane. It's insane. So, yes, I am cheering for the Patriots. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I as it sits right now, again, if I'm a betting man, I'm taking the Patriots. Think it's going to be close. Although, offensively for the Rams, it's going to be fascinating to see Goff's demeanor and how McVay, which I think he'll be fine, but I mean, this is Belichick's 9th Super Bowl and it's face first, you know, and that means something, I think, when it comes to coaching, in the sense of just what you've seen, been there, done that. That's going to be the fun part, is seeing those two, the chess match about what they're doing. You know, Belichick obviously is the defensive guy. McVay's the offensive guy. And so that little matchup, who is Belichick going to take away? It's common knowledge. He always takes away, you know, your best aspect or your biggest weapon. But if Gurley's not in there, just by chance, who's he going to take away? You know, if C.J. Anderson is in there, you know they're going to be running the ball a lot. So obviously that changes your approach in the sense of how many people you throw in the box. But then that obviously opens you up for play action pass. I think Stephon Gilmore, who used to be a Buffalo Bill and now obviously is an all-pro corner for the Patriots against Brandon Cooks, because they played together in New England. I think that's going to be a fun matchup. You know, Cooks obviously is very, very good. I don't know why he's bounced around so much. And Gilmore, like I say, made all pro this year. I don't necessarily agree with it, but he thinks he's the best corner. And going up against Cooks, that's going to be a great matchup. You know, and obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Cooper Kupp, because I think losing Cooper Kupp was massive. I truly believe that was such a huge loss because, like Edelman to Brady, Cooper Kupp was that to Jared Goff, your security blanket, the guy you know who's going to be open, the guy you look for all the time. When Cooper Kupp went down with the ACL, Goff didn't have that anymore. And so his security dude went away. And I think that still affects their offense. And of course it does. Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess I shouldn't say it like that. I mean, of course it changes. And so there again, the over under, let's talk real quick about betting. Patriots by 2.5, which is, it's funny to me because the Patriots, it seems like they win by a field goal. So to have it at 2.5 is almost like prodding people to like, oh yeah, they'll win by a field goal. If they win, they win by a field goal. And so I'm taking that bet. Maybe that is what Vegas wants you to do. Take that bet because the Rams are going to win. I have no idea, but it's 2.5, the Patriots. 56, I think, is what the number is right now. It's either 55.5 to 56.5 over under from what I've been seeing. And so therefore, you know, it's so interesting because the Patriots 4th in the league in rushing, so they can run the ball effectively, suck the clock. The Rams, as of late, C.J. Anderson, suck the clock. And so, you know, are they going to score 8 touchdowns? Think about it. That's 55.5, 56 divided by 7 is 8. That's 8 touchdowns. You know, which it sounds like a lot to say it. 56 for those two teams doesn't seem like a lot. But for whatever reason, I can see this being a lower scoring game because both teams will want to run the football. Then again, I could be completely wrong. And next thing you know, it's like 35-31. Old Pittsburgh and Dallas score from a 70 Super Bowl. It obviously could be argued either way for each one. I feel as though it's Patriots win 27-24. And literally like a last second field goal. So all those people who put 2.5, you know, bet 2.5 Patriots are just going to shit themselves until that last second field goal by Gostkowski, who, by the way, is in his 6th. Super Bowl, Gostkowski. I mean, what a great gig. Then again, you got to be damn good, and he is. So 27-24, I feel like the Patriots are going to win. They're going to cover the spread, and it's going to be an under. as far as the betting go. All right, 5 minutes to go here on Tough Love. I just want to do a shout-out real quick to those that are in the Hall of Fame. That was announced yesterday. Ed Reed, definitely. I mean, I don't know why I don't have an Ed Reed jersey. I love Ed Reed. Like, I love Ed Reed like I love Ronnie Lott. And that is high praise in my book. So kudos to Ed Reed. Tony G, Tony Gonzalez, absolutely. Those two for sure first ballot. Champ Bailey was a first ballot, and he is really good. I just never thought of him as elite. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just never thought of him as that. Absolute shutdown corner, like Patrick Peterson, like Deion Sanders. I never thought of him like that, like Revis in his prime. Kevin Mawai, Ty Law, I love it. I love that Ty Law got in. I love Ty Law. Here's something that's just fascinating to me. Pat Bowlen, Gil Brandt, Johnny Robinson all got in. My buddy Bob mentioned something. Kraft. I'm sorry, this is only his 10th Super Bowl. Robert Kraft is not in the Hall of Fame, yet Jerry Jones is, Pat Bowlen is. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't necessarily know, I guess, what Robert Kraft has to do more to get into the Hall of Fame, but apparently he hasn't done enough. Also, two exceptions, and Elliot Harrison on NFL.com, you know, put these out. Tony Boselli is not in the Hall. And I mean, my God, during Tony's reign, he was like the best left tackle in the league for, I don't know, 6-7 years. You know, like, Tony Boselli was a really, really, really good Hall of Fame left tackle. And Edgerrin James. Edgerrin James has over 12,000 yards rushing. And not only that, but I mean, you talk about a great all-around running back who stayed on the field all three downs. I mean, not only 12,000 yards rushing, but, you know, a awesome back out of the backfield to catch balls. Great in blitz pickup. I'm shocked. I am shocked that Edgerrin James is not in the Hall of Fame, especially because Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame. That kills me. I don't, like, honestly, that's weird to me. The fact that Edgerrin James is in, or isn't in, but Terrell Davis, what, because he's got a couple Super Bowls? Terrell Davis played like 4 years. You know, I mean, Edgerrin James had a good career, and not everybody can make it all the time. Hopefully Edgerrin James will make it in eventually. But man, like, what? That's interesting. Lastly, Julius Peppers, shout out, retiring, one of the greatest to ever play. He will definitely be a Hall of Famer. Speaking of which, Mahomes got the MVP, youngest since Marino to do it, Dan Marino. And I just wonder if they're going to have the same career. I wonder if Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino are same career. Maybe go to a Super Bowl, but because you never have a great running back, especially with Kareem Hunt gone, and your defense, you know, isn't that great because, you know, all your money is put into the offense. And I'm telling you right now, KC better win within the next 2-3 years before they have to pay Mahomes the first $200 million contract. Because once that happens, all bets are off. All bets are off. I just have a feeling the Chiefs are going to be this era's Peyton Manning's Colts. I just see that happening. You know, it is what it is. Lastly, Usain Bolt ran a 4.22 40-yard dash. And everybody's, you know, saying he should play football. I'll give you two words. Ronaldo Nehemiah. Look it up. Look it up. All right. Got about 13 seconds. You guys, 10 seconds. Blog Talk Radio, love you guys. Have an awesome Sunday fun day. Enjoy the Super Bowl, homeboy. Facebook, I love you guys. Have a great day. Try fast, take chances. I'm out.